بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected mothers and sisters, in our previous session, we had discussed a bit about Imam Abu Dawood Rahmatul Ali. Imam Abu Dawood Rahmatul Ali was a very great muhaddis of his time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with expertise in the field of hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a profound memory and understanding that some ulama had commented, it is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created this personality for the field of hadith. And his kitab is a famous kitab known as the Sunan-i Abi Dawood, which is taught in hundreds of madrasas throughout the world, hundreds of thousands of people studying this kitab, Sunan Abi Dawood, and till this day and time, benefiting from the immense knowledge of Imam Abu Dawood, rahmatullahi. There is a unique incident in the life of Imam Abu Dawood, rahmatullahi, which is thought-provoking, and inshallah, this is also an inspiration for us to practice on these types of things. Imam Abu Dawood, rahmatullahi, was once traveling in a ship, and from a distance there was a person on the shore who sneezed and he said Alhamdulillah. And whenever a person sneezes, then he should say Alhamdulillah, and the person who hears him saying Alhamdulillah should make dua for him, Yarhamukallah. Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi felt that he was a distance away and he could not reply to this person, so he hired a small boat. There was a small boat there. He paid one dirham. A dirham is a silver coin, a small silver coin. And he taken the boat and he went right to the shore and he approached this person and he told him, Yarhamukallah. And then he came back to the ship. So the people asked him that, why did you do this? What was the reason for you to do this? You went and you had taken the services of a boat, you spent a dirham. So he said, no, I felt perhaps this man is someone whose duas are accepted. So if I will go and I will make dua for him, yarhamukallah, then he will reply to me and he would say, yahdikumullahu wa yuslihu balakum. He will make dua for me. And if his duas are accepted, then I will cash in and I will benefit from his duas. Anyway, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi had done this. And that night, when the people of the ship were going to sleep, then they heard a voice from the unseen saying, Inna Aba Dawood ishtara al-jannata min Allahi bidirhamin. That Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi has purchased himself jannat for one dirham. Now it may seem something trivial, it may seem something small, but remember, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no good deed is trivial, no good deed is small. This is something that we need to inculcate within our lives and bring within our lives, bring within our homes. Someone is sneezing, then he is saying Alhamdulillah. And the people who are hearing him, they are making dua, yarhamukallah. He is making dua for them. So this will create a very good environment and a dini environment within our homes. So this is one unique incident about Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi. And because we did mention the saying of Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, that is why we have mentioned this incident. So Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with such profound knowledge that he had gathered a treasure of 500,000 ahadith. Imagine, not 5,000, not 50,000, but 500,000 ahadith. We can imagine now how much he traveled, how far he traveled, how many different people he went into their company, and how many great scholars of that time he benefited from them. And he says that from that 500,000 ahadith, then over 5,000 ahadith he put in his kitab, the Sunan Abi Dawud, about 5,274 ahadith. But from that he says that there are four ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is sufficient for a person's deen. If a person can just understand these four ahadith and practice on them, bring them in his life, then this is sufficient for his deen. And the four hadiths, we just mentioned them very briefly in the last session. The first is the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Now this is a hadith that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi had commenced his kitab with this hadith. And many great scholars of hadith, they commenced their books with this hadith, as though this is a very, very important lesson for the person studying the book, that correct your intention. Because if your intentions are right, then you will benefit. And if your intentions are wrong, then you're going to be deprived. So the hadith, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and quotes the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That all actions are judged on intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And every person will receive exactly what he intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. That person whose immigration was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. Then his immigration is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُسِيبُهَا. That person whose immigration was for some worldly benefit that he will acquire, أَوْ إِمْرَأَتِي يَنْكِهُهَا, or to a woman that he would marry, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. Then his immigration is to whatever he had immigrated. Generally, when it comes to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a term that is called shan-e-wurud. Like how when it comes to the tafsir of the Quran, then you get a term called shan-e-nuzul. So shan-e-wurud means that something had happened And on that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned something. So there was an incident that had transpired, some incident that had happened, and on that incident, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commented and he had said these wording. Shan and Uzul will be the same when it comes to the Quran, that some incident had happened, and as a reaction to that, an ayat of the Quran was revealed. An ayat of the Quran was revealed on that occasion. So when you understand the incident, then you will understand the context of the hadith. So in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a person who proposed for a woman, and this woman was known as Ummu Qais. So she refused to marry him until that he would also undertake the immigration and come to Medina Munawwara. So then he had immigrated and he had married her. So this person, they don't normally give his name, but he is referred to as Muhajiru Ummi Qais, that the person who had immigrated because of Ummi Qais. So it was on this occasion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned this hadith, that the person who immigrates for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is going to get his reward accordingly, he is going to benefit accordingly. And the person who immigrates for some worldly benefit or just to marry a woman, then he is not going to get that reward. Now this hadith is a very, very important hadith in Islam, to such an extent that there are great luminaries, the likes of Imam Shafi rahmatullah ali, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah ali, Ali ibn al-Madini rahmatullah ali, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Tirmizi, etc., who state that this hadith is one third of Islam. هذا الحديث هو ثلث الإسلام. This hadith constitutes one third of Islam. So someone may say that how does this hadith constitute one third of Islam? So they explain that if you look at the entire Islam, it's made up of three things. One is your words. So what you utter with your tongue, your words, the wording you say, this is one very important aspect of Islam. The second is your bodily actions, the physical actions that you undertake, that you carry out. And the third is your intention and what is within your heart. So these are, Islam is made up of these three things, and this is something that relates to the intention, to what is in one's heart. That is how it makes up one third of Islam. Now remember, the heart is one of the most important aspects. In fact, even if you look at Iman, Iman is in your heart. أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written Iman in their hearts. So Iman is in the heart. One is outwardly, a person has got Iman, a person has got Islam, but in actual fact the belief is within his heart. So sometimes outwardly the person may seem to have got Iman, but in his heart he doesn't believe. Or in his heart he is doubting. This is also a major problem nowadays. It is known as intellectual apostasy, where educated people, very often it happens to educated people, people who get educated and they get brainwashed with the different theories, then they, deep down in their hearts, they doubt whether Jannat is a reality, Jahannam is a reality, the year after is a reality. They even doubt whether Allah Ta'ala created us, or whether there was some big bang that just happened and everything just started like that, whether we evolved from apes. Because of all these fake theories that they are taught, then you find that this can affect their belief as well. So this is known as intellectual apostasy. A man may actually be within us, he may be coming to the masjid, or a woman may be reading a namaz, she may be reading Quran, but deep down in her heart, she doesn't believe. And if she doesn't believe, or she's doubting in her belief, then this is something that is very detrimental and something that is very dangerous. So iman is in the heart. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding taqwa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also pointed to the heart and he said, At-taqwa ha-huna. Taqwa is here in the heart. You may outwardly, someone may seem to be pious, but maybe the heart is devoid of taqwa. So that is why you will find sometimes people in public, they have got a certain type of image and a certain way that they practice. But in private, it is a different story. Person in his, within his home, in the confines of his home, in the bedroom now, where no one can see, so then he is a different person. But in public, he's a different person. When he's in the masjid, he's a different person. So taqwa actually is in the heart. And when there's taqwa in the heart, then a person will be consistent. Whether he's in public or whether he is alone, he is in his private quarters, in all situations, he will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking over him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every move of his. He understands that Allah is in control of every faculty in his body, every function in his body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. So he cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart is a very, very important aspect within our lives. It's an integral thing in our lives. And when a person's intentions changes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also changes the conditions. There's many incidents of this nature. One is the Quran Sharif in Surah Qalam. Allah ta'ala speaks about Ashabul Jannah. إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَسْرِمُنَّهَا مُسْبِحِينَ وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. The people of the orchard. So there was an old pious man that had this very profitable orchard, and he had this booming orchard, but he was a very generous man. So whenever he would harvest the crops, the fruits, a good percentage of that would be given to the poor people. The old man passed away, and when he passed away, his sons took over. So the sons thought to themselves that our father was a fool. Every day, or every time he was harvesting, he was giving away so much of crop, and so much of loss was coming. So he was giving away the crop, he's giving away the fruits, he's giving away the grain. Now we got huge families, we got big families. So they thought to themselves that the next day, they're going to go to the orchard early in the morning, and they're going to harvest all the crops and the fruits, etc. And they're not going to allow any poor person to come, and they're not going to give any fruit or any grain to the poor people. So here the intentions changed. They did not even do it as yet. And that night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a natural disaster that had destroyed the entire orchard. And when they came in the morning, initially they thought that they had lost their way because they had seen it completely destroyed and there was absolutely nothing left. But then they realized that no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed this orchard, and this was because their intentions changed. So sometimes we are doing something good. We're doing some act of kindness, some act of generosity, and then our intentions change. We're not going to do it anymore now. Why must we do it? Why must we give the poor people? Lest we realize that the more we give, then the more we get. The more generosity we will show, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us. Because the hadith says, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَال. That sadaqah does not decrease one's wealth. You're thinking you're spending and your money is getting less. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replacing that wealth with barakah and blessings. And your wealth is actually increasing. And there's more blessings coming. And through the sadaqah, there is a divine protection. We are earning that divine protection. So this is one example of the intentions changing and the condition of the heart changing. Another example, Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hassan Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned an incident of also a person who had an orchard. So there was the king of the time. He was going around. This was a normal thing in those days and times, that sometimes the king will disguise himself and he will go around and he will see what's happening in his kingdom and what people are saying. So he came to this orchard, and the owner of the orchard had received him well, perhaps did not even know he was the king. And it was, the person had a pomegranate garden. So he told him, can I have some juice? So he brought a pomegranate, and with one pomegranate, he had filled the entire big glass, and with very, very sweet juice, this person drank the juice. The king drank the juice. Now the king is already thinking to himself that I am going to expropriate this orchard. This orchard is such a beautiful orchard, and it is producing such sweet and good fruits. This needs to be in the, it needs to be in the position of possession of the state. The state needs to own this. The king needs to own this. So his intentions changed. Anyway, after a little while, he asked him for some more juice. The second time, he brought a pomegranate, but hardly any juice came out from it. Then he brought another one, and also hardly, so he just made up like about half of that same container. So the king is asking this person, what happened? How is it now these two pomegranates are not giving the same amount of juice that the first one gave? So the person is saying, it seems like the king's intentions have changed. Now he doesn't know that this is the king, and the king is in front of him, and the king's intentions have changed. And because the king's intentions have changed, this has affected the entire kingdom. And very often this is the condition where the rulers and the kings, people behind the scenes, their intentions are wrong. That is going to affect the whole kingdom. It's going to affect everything and everyone. So the king realized that yes, his intentions did change, because he planned to expropriate this property. So immediately he made Toba, and he corrected his intentions. And then when the next pomegranate he asked for again, when that came, then that gave the same blessings, and it filled the entire container, the entire utensil. So the heart in the body is like the king. The heart controls everything else. The heart gives the instructions. The heart intends. The heart has got wrong thoughts, wrong ideologies. And that is what will instruct the rest of the body to go into that direction. If someone has got filth, someone has got malice, someone has got dirt within their hearts, so then they're going to behave like that towards people. And a person who has got good thoughts and good intentions, then they will always show kindness. They will always show good character, and they will have good morals, because the heart is clean. So the heart is like the king, and that is why these intentions are so important. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, innamal a'malu binniyat, that all your actions are judged on intentions. Sometimes a person just makes a good intention, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him for that intention. He maybe did not do the action. He didn't do the action, but he made that intention. So there is a report that mentions that in the Bani Israel, there was one person who should make a lot of ibadat. So once he happened to pass by a hill full of sand. Oh, so the whole hill was filled with sand, like a whole pile of sand. And he thought to himself that, you know, he had this desire in his heart that if this was only flour, then I would have used this flour to provide food for the entire Bani Israel. Because the Bani Israel were undergoing some poverty, they were undergoing some drought. Now someone is undergoing poverty, undergoing drought, we should already be thinking in our minds of how we can be of some assistance to that person. So we will now be of assistance to that person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless us. So this man just made this intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to the Nabi of that time. that go and tell this man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this message that I have blessed you with that reward of giving that amount of flour in sadaqah. So he never had the money to buy that amount of flour. He couldn't afford it. But just that he saw this hill or this big heap of sand, and he made that intention in his mind, and he had that desire, Allah Ta'ala, if this was flour, I would have distributed it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that this man, he was truthful in his intentions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that reward. Then there's some reports that mention that on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be given his book of deeds in his right hand. Now when he looks in his book of deeds, he's seeing Hajj, he's seeing Umrah, he's seeing Jihad, he's seeing Zakat, he's seeing Sadaqah. Now he's thinking to himself, I never did this. I never did so much of Hajj. I never did so much of Umrah. I never did so much of Jihad. I didn't give so much of Sadaqah. How did this come? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him that, see, you had this desire in your heart on many occasions. You said to yourself that if I had wealth, I would have made Hajj. If I had wealth, I would have went out in Jihad. If I had wealth, then I would have given Sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that you were sincere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that you were truthful in your intention. And because you were truthful in your intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with all these rewards. So one man never did the action, but he had the right intention, and here he's got the rewards. On the contrary, a person could have went for Hajj, he could have went for Umrah, he could have given the charity, but the intentions were incorrect. The intentions were wrong, and the result of that is that now he is going to be deprived of the rewards. He's not going to get the rewards. Why? Because the intentions were wrong. Why the person went for Hajj? He went for show. He went to show people. People must see now that he made so many Hajj. And remember, when a person does something with a good intention, then he will conceal it. He will hide it. He will not want everyone to know about it. Some pious people of the past, when they did things with good intentions, they never told anyone. In fact, they didn't want anyone to know about it, because they felt that why must people know about our intentions? We don't want them to know about our intentions. Hazrat Zainul Abideen rahmatullah alayh was the son of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So outwardly, people never knew what good deeds Hazrat Zainul Abideen rahmatullah alayh was doing. What he would do is that at night, he would take his bag of wheat and flour and he would go and give people. So people won't even know. In the middle of the night, people are getting some food, they're getting some assistance. The poor people of Madinah Munawwara. So Zainul Abideen rahmatullah alayh was a person of that caliber. So it is mentioned that when he passed away, then people are thinking now, hey, this food is not coming now. We're not getting this assistance anymore. Then they realized that about 100 families in Madinah Munawwara, he was giving them their provisions. 100 families. No one knew about it. His entire life, he did not even tell his immediate family what he was doing. The hadith speaks about a person's right hand spending in a way that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand spent. One of the people who will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, when people will be drowning in their own perspiration, when it will be so hot, then there will be certain people who will be in the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one of those people will be a person that he gave sadaqah with his right hand, and his left hand did not know what his right hand had spent. So this is meaning that
that he concealed it. He hid it. People that were right there near him, right close to him, they did not know even that he was giving sadaqah. There was some buzuganideen, some awliya, that if they even helped someone, then they would put it in an envelope. And they would give the person as though they're giving him his letter. There's your envelope. Now people around are thinking that maybe this man, he brought a letter, and the letter needed to be replied to, so the buzurg. But in the envelope was the assistance. So they had concealed it. They concealed their good deeds. They did not want anyone to know what good deed they are doing. That was the amount of sincerity they had in them. And with according to the level of sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid will come, Allah's assistance will come. And that is the quality of our good deeds. One is quantity and one is quality. So what will add to the value of the good deed? What will add to the quality of the good deed? It is the sincerity. The spirit that we are giving it with. لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِيَّنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about qurbani. That it's not the flesh and not the blood that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is the sincerity within you. That with what heart are you giving that? So you're giving it with that sincerity. And that was the secret. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they spent a small amount in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can give the whole Mount Uhud in gold. We can never reach what the Sahaba gave. A small amount of what the Sahaba gave, we will never reach. Why? Because they had that level of sincerity. There's another incident of a wealthy person. Once a wealthy person, he came to a certain area and he settled down in that area. That area was filled with poor people. So the poor people, they thought to themselves that now this wealthy man is staying here, maybe he'll see us right and he will assist us. But now they seeing the wealthy man is not giving them anything. They can't see anything coming from him. But around that time, they seeing that even in their own vicinity, like other shopkeepers, every now and again the shopkeepers are giving them some things for free. Now the man is going to buy something, he needs some wheat, he needs some barley. So the shopkeeper gives him one bag for free. Okay, take this rice, take that. So they thinking this wealthy man came here, and outwardly we can't see him giving us anything. We had some expectations. So the people now, they began to hate the wealthy man. They began to hate him and they started cursing him. And eventually the wealthy man passed away after some time. Very few people even attended his janaza. But then after that, now when they were going to those same shops, now the shopkeepers are not giving them anything. So now they're thinking, now what happened now? Why are you not giving us? Every now and again you're giving us some things for free. So shopkeepers told them, that wealthy man was coming here and he was giving the money. So because he was paying for it, but he didn't want to be in the forefront. He didn't want to be known. So that is why we were giving it to you all. But now he passed away. Then they realized that they were actually hating this man and they had a bad opinion about him, but he was the person that was actually a generous person. But what we learn is that our good deeds are such that it is not for everyone to know about it, but rather it is something that we give for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we give anything, we give it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala also mentions, إِنَّمَا نُتْئِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ They tell the poor people that we feed you for the pleasure of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءُ وَلَا شُكُورًا We don't want you to give us any remuneration, and we don't want you to even tell us thank you. So they pious people, they didn't even want anyone to tell them thank you. So if that person got it without him knowing who even gave it, then they were happy. They never took exception that, see, this man never thanked me, or he never said no, because I did not give it with that intention. I gave it with the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it and Allah is pleased with it, I have achieved everything. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with it, then I have achieved nothing. So this is something that's very, very important. It is something that we need to constantly correct our intentions. Pious people would always be afraid. They would worry that it mustn't be that our intentions are wrong. So that's why they would constantly correct their intentions. Because if the intentions are wrong, then in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not going to receive any rewards. There was one buzurg who once had some coins, and he went to a money exchange to change those coins. So the person who was there by the money exchange, when he looked at the coins, he gave it back to him and he told him these are fake coins. Those days you would get gold coins, you would get silver coins. But he told him these are fake coins and this is a deception. So the buzurg obviously never knew about this. He never knew these were fake coins. Someone gave it to him, someone paid it to him. But the person at the money exchange told him. But as soon as he heard this, he fell unconscious. So when he regained his consciousness, then people asked him, that Hazrat, why is it? You fell unconscious. I mean, was it so serious? This money was fake. It wasn't your fault. You didn't have any wrong intentions. He says, no. My mind went to the akhirat. My mind went to the qabr. That when I'm going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when I'm going to present all my good deeds, what if Allah ta'ala tells me that your good deeds are fake? Your intentions were not right. That's what I got worried about. That is why I was frightened. So that is why we need to constantly correct our intentions and make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala accepts whatever good we do. So even if it's a little bit, but is accepted by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then we have achieved everything. And you can do a lot, but if it's not accepted by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then we have acquired nothing. So this is very, very important that we always constantly correct our intentions in whatever we do. Whatever we say, whatever we give, always have the right intentions. Always have goodness in our hearts. Always think of the better for other people. That how can I be of some benefit? Sahal ibn Abdullah rahmatullahi alayhi, he says sincerity is that a person's movements and a person's moments when he's still, all has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that قُلْ سَيْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِ, verily my namaz, وَنُسُكِ and my ibadat, وَمَحْيَايَ and my life, وَمَمَاتِ and my death, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, it is all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever I do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do it for His pleasure, I do it to get His proximity, I don't have any ulterior motives, I don't want anything in exchange of that I did some good to you, now you must do good to me. No. I now invited you, so you must invite me. No. I gave you a gift, so you must give me a gift. No. I don't want anything. Whatever I am doing is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not doing it with that intention that I must get anything in exchange or any remuneration. Because then in that case, then that is like a type of a business. Because you giving him something, you expecting something in return. So that is definitely something that is not in keeping with the spirit of sincerity. And as we mentioned, pious people, they would hide the good that they have done. Some even explain that a sincere person, he is not worried about people's compliments, and nor is he worried about people's criticism. Because when he's doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if someone compliments him or someone doesn't compliment him, it doesn't mean anything. It is he's doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, innamal a'malu bin niyat, that all actions will be judged and gauged by intentions. So when we say all actions, ulama explain, the meaning of this is all permissible actions. A sin cannot be done with a correct intention. So you get a man, for example, says he's going to the casino and he's going to gamble. So whatever money he makes, he's going to give it in charity. So this is something that is haram and something that is impermissible. And this cannot be justified by his intention. So when we're speaking about actions, then all permissible actions, to such an extent, even eating, drinking,
sleeping, person is eating, person is drinking, someone is sleeping, we cooking, we baking, everything, if we correct our intentions, that becomes an ibadat. Someone is eating with the intention that they're going to get strength so that they will commit haram, or they will go out into some haram place, or they will enjoy themselves with some haram entertainment. Now that eating becomes like a sin for him. And is in eating with this intention that, oh Allah, I'm eating so that I can get some strength to make your ibadat. I'm eating because this body is an amanat. I have to look after this body. I'm eating so that I can do the work of deen, or I can read some kitab. I can get the strength to read Quran Sharif. Now that eating now becomes an ibadat. Drinking of water becomes an ibadat. Someone is cooking food and making that intention that all the people are going to eat this food. Whatever ibadat they do, I will get the reward. So that cooking now becomes an ibadat. I'm cooking because this is my responsibility to my family, that I prepare for them pure and wholesome food. I'm cooking, I'm reading Bismillah, I'm making zikr, so that that barakah and that blessings now gets into their system. So that becomes an ibadat. Someone is baking and they're correcting their intention that they're going to feed someone, they're going to give someone. Maybe there's a jamaat that is there and some pious people are going to eat and they're going to make dua. So that becomes an ibadat. So a whole day, even sleeping can become an ibadat. Eating can become an ibadat. Drinking can become an ibadat. Our entire life, every single aspect can become an ibadat. But we need to always constantly correct our intentions and make the right intentions. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will conclude with this here. He sent Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala and Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala to different parts of Yemen. So one was a governor over one part, the other was a governor over the other part. So occasionally they would meet and they would discuss the condition. So it so happened that Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, once he was passing by, and he stopped by Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu. So they began discussing regarding the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. You know how they read the Quran. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, every day they had, this was a very important aspect of the day, a very important part of the day, was they had to read a certain amount of Quran. And generally, it was the habit that in 7 days, they should finish one Quran Sharif. So Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, he told Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal that throughout the day, I take out different times, maybe whenever I'm getting some free time, 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever, I'm reading some, then again I'm reading again. So throughout the day, small, small portions, I try to finish the amount that I need to finish. So Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala said that at night, I sleep for a portion of the night. So a certain part of the night, few hours, I sleep, and then I wake up, and then in the Tahajjud namaz, I try to finish the amount of Quran that I had to read. So a lot of pious people, you know, some reading 2 paras in Tahajjud, some reading 5 paras in Tahajjud. This is something that we also need to bring in our lives. So then Hazrat Muaz radiallahu ta'ala told him that ahtasibu fi qawmati ma ahtasibu fi o ahtasibu nomati kama ahtasibu qawmati, that I have anticipation to get reward in my sleep as I have anticipation to get reward in the time when I stand up and read namaz. So even that few hours, because I am sleeping with that intention that I'm going to get strength. So now I'm tired. I cannot read Quran. I cannot read namaz. Let me sleep for those few hours. Then I will again get that strength and I will get that level of concentration. So I have hope that even that few hours that I'm spending sleeping, that I'm also getting reward in those few hours. So innamal a'malu bin niyat, all actions are judged on intentions. Wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa, and every person will receive whatever he intended. Sometimes you're doing one thing and you're making 10 intentions, then you're getting 10 rewards. Person's reading 2 rakats namaz, But you're making intention, this is Salatul Hajat, this is Salatul Tawbah, you're reading with the intention of Salatul Ishraq, whatever it is. So we're making multiple intentions. We're going for a dini program. So we're going there to listen, to get knowledge, to practice on it, to greet the people, meet the people, and that is also a reward that we will get. We're meeting with our sisters in Islam, we're making salam to them, we're making dua for them, they're making dua for us. All these different intentions. We're going there because these gatherings are such that angels are sitting in these gatherings. So we are also in the company of the angels. The more intentions we make, inshallah, the more rewards we get. So always make good intentions, and good intentions that from now we can make intention for the month of Ramadan. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whether we will see Ramadan or not, but we make this intention that inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with this Mubarak month of Ramadan, we will make this Ramadan the best Ramadan in our lives. This is a Ramadan where we're going to read maximum Quran Sharif. We're going to make it a Ramadan of zikr. We're going to spend our time in dua. We're not going to waste our time. We're not going to while our time. We're not going to get carried away with the social media and all these different groups. But the month of Ramadan will be a month that we will dedicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a month to boost the batteries of our iman, a month for us to strengthen our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prepare ourselves for the akhirat and year after, inshallah, just based on this intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will already reward us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq then to value the month of Ramadan. May Allah grant us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعافية اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم سلمنا لرمضان وسلم رمضان لنا وسلمه لنا متقبلا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين